Welcome to Know Your Gear podcast number 235. Today's show will have all kinds of stuff. I don't know if that was two sentences I just decided to blend together, but trust me, it makes sense in my head. That's right. We have to talk about all kinds of things. So first up, while people are kind of coming on the live, I'll tell you what happened last week. So I mentioned last week I had to start the show a little early and leave a little early, although, you know, because I started early, we left early. It's because my daughter is going to be 17. And what happened was she turned 16 during COVID. Obviously, it's still COVID, but you know what I mean, during the lockdown. And for her birthday, we had some stuff planned for her 16th birthday, and none of that could happen. Obviously, this is last year. And then on top of that, she, even though she went to driving school and got everything for her driver's license, she couldn't have her driver's license in time because of the way COVID was set up. So she couldn't even start driving right after her birthday like she wanted. So to make it up to her, we said, hey, next year when you're 17, we'll take you and do whatever you want. And she said, hey, can we go to Disneyland? I live in Arizona. It's like a 7-hour drive to Disneyland. We're like, yeah, let's go to Disneyland. And our plan was to go for the day. She just wanted to check out the Star Wars thing. She hadn't seen it. And as you guys know, if you guys have been watching the show, you know my wife basically broke her foot. So it's in a boot thing. So we couldn't go to Disneyland. So you can imagine, I'm sure it's been a tough time for her. It's like her birthday is not going to happen. So at the last minute, we go, we got to do something. So what I ended up doing was we got tickets for her. She loves John Mulaney. He's a stand-up comedian. And he was playing. And he was performing Friday night. So we left Friday night. So that's what I did. I had to leave early, go downtown Phoenix to go see the show. It was a great show. We had a good time. Although, like, probably half, maybe not half, 40%, half of the audience was a little late to the show because it was a long process to get in the show. You had to either show your shot card to show you got shots or your vaccine, or you had to show a 48-hour test that you had been tested. Then once you go through that, they got to kind of go through security, pat you down. Then after that, because it's a stand-up show, they got to put your phone in a bag if you haven't experienced this. A bag, it's like I think neoprene is what I would call it, like a neoprene, like wetsuit material. You put your phone in a neoprene envelope. You turn off the ringer, or you can turn off the phone. You put it in this envelope, and then they like magnet lock it shut. And then they have essentially the device that can unlock it. So for the whole show, your phone's locked. I actually enjoyed that. I think that's great. You didn't have to worry about anybody ruining the time, holding the phone in front of their face the whole time or anything like that. But that process took a long, but it was a great show. He was very funny. My daughter had an amazing time. And so that was my way of compromising. I told the family, I said, hey, I'll go on 30 minutes early. So now you guys know what I did. So there you go. that's the whole story. Great show. Sean says, so you can't try and record the show and upload it. Yeah, they weren't recording the show that night themselves. So sometimes they don't want you to record it because that maybe they don't want it out there. I'm sure all those are definitely the reasons. But I think a little bit, believe it or not, was I think some of these comedians, artists, it's not like a rock concert where it's loud. These phones ringing, people texting, that stuff disturbs the artist and the audience. The only thing that sucked about the entire thing is we didn't know they were going to bag our phones. We didn't see anywhere in the literature, and it maybe was out there and we dismissed it. But now that I know that, I wouldn't bring my phone. So, we'd probably bring one phone, up and then leave that in the car. You know what I mean? I like it. I like the idea. I would rather not have my phone. Look, the pictures you take of the show, I don't do that anyways. I don't usually take a whole lot of pictures anyway. So there you go. So I liked it. I enjoyed it more. And there's my take on that. I enjoy the idea. And if a musician start doing it, then so be it. The other thing I want to point out to you is that we're going to do, like I said last week, we did a guitar crate giveaway last week on the show. We're going to be giving a guitar crate away today on the show, but we're going to do something a little special starting now after this show. There's a link down below. You can enter to win next week's guitar crate, which will be a $100 gift crate. So it's going to be a better box than the normal $45 one. obviously double. It's like getting two of the crates. So you just click the link and do that. And then I will pick the winner, or the randomizer will pick the winner, I should say, before the show next week, and I'll announce it next week. The reason I'm doing that is I don't want to keep picking the names. Like, you know, last week it was great. I picked a name. Today I'm going to pick somebody the same, different kind of way than I did last week, but it'll just be easier. To me, it's a lot easier. Since I've been doing giveaways with the guitars and stuff, it's a lot easier to have this randomizer. Just you push a button and it just tells me who's the winner. And then that way I don't have to worry about, like, you know, why did I pick that name? What's going on with that? By the way, if you are curious, the winner of the D'Angelico guitar that I gave away, the one I reviewed from Sweetwater, was picked today. The randomizer picked Mitchell. And what I do, I always do this the same way. I email them, and because I don't know the name, the randomizer doesn't even give me your names. It just tells me what email address won. So in this case, Mitchell's email address was presented to me. I sent him a message. What did it say? I'm going to read it to you. It said, oh, the subject was my D'Angelico DC Mini. It's because I can't put anything contest in the subject, because a lot of people's, what do you call it? The spam will grab the email. So I put my D'Angelico DC Mini, and then it put in the subject, that's the subject. And then in the body of the email, it says, is now yours. You won. So it says, as soon as you respond and tell me the address, I'll make the announcement. So he gave me an address. He's in Pennsylvania. So he's going to get the guitar. Mitchell, if you're watching the show right now, congratulations, buddy. I'm sure a lot of people are happy for you and some not so happy for you, but I'm happy for you. That matters. You're going to be getting the Levy strap and the Gator stand. I threw some Know Your Gear stickers and stuff in there, and it's an all-in-one box. What I don't know is when it goes out. Here's what I did. It's already boxed up and ready to go. It'll either go out tomorrow or Monday. That'll be up to my wife, and my knowing my wife, she probably won't let it go until Monday, because she says when you ship on a Friday afternoon or Saturday, a lot of times it just ships and then it goes to a warehouse. It does the other thing too. Was that a Freudian slip? Whoopsies. Okay. So yeah. So Mitchell, but I'll send you the tracking number. In fact, as soon as she gives me the tracking number, I forward it just like on the Mira guitar for Sam. Okay. Congratulations, buddy. Now, the other thing I want to discuss is we're going to do some guitar stuff at the halfway mark in the show. I got to share something with you. It happened this week. I don't even know how to share it with you. How do I say? It's pretty freaking amazing. I don't even know. I don't want to talk about it till the middle of the show. So let's just let me get into some questions, and then you'll know what's going on, because it's going to be, I don't know. It's just powerful for me. Okay, so what do we have? Let's look at the early birds. The early birds came to the show. We got to come up with a better name than early birds. I feel like you all will get 20% off breakfast at Denny's for being an early bird. What's up, Doc? With W-U-2-Z's. What's up, Doc says, can you talk about the new Fender Player Plus? Why some people think it's too much money. Some people think everything's too much money. Some of it's based on their wallet. Some of it's based on educated opinions, because you know what the market can bear. Some of it's just based on, you know, nothing. So in this case, look, man, it is tough right now. It is tough. It's not just inflation. Obviously, that's tough to take in. But you got to understand, one thing I can tell you, with the videos that I made over the years, considering my channel didn't technically start. I started my channel around 2015-16. I started putting some videos up. I think my first videos hit 2014. So you understand, it's like a couple spatters of videos out there, really not doing anything with it. I always tell people, you know, officially my channel starts for me 2017, April of 2017, actually, is when I go, okay, I'll make video in a, you know, consistently, and I'm going to try to be a YouTube, you know, channel, you know what I mean? Or a podcast or whatever I'm going to do. I'm going to try to do this. This is going to be a thing for me. But that being said, when you look back now at the years of the videos I've done, I mean, it's not 10-year-old videos, which is crazy. There are videos where it's like, hey, this you can get for $1,000. And now you look and it's 15. So it's tough. When I started making videos, I'm sure there's a video of me doing a Mexican-made standard Strat, and it was probably $450. So, And again, this isn't, there's no decade here. There's no, the channel's not 10 years old. The channel's barely 6-7 years old. So, I mean, it's crazy. So yeah, the Fender Players Plus, I think there's a little shell shock in that. People aren't prepared to pay that, but here's the deal. We know what's going to happen soon in our lifetimes. Made in Mexico guitars will be the price of American-made guitars, and American-made guitars will be the price of custom shop guitars. That's how it's going to go. And then custom shop guitars, that'll be this even crazier. That is, excuse me, that is absolutely how it's going to go. So, you know, I don't know. That's why I make a point to always do as many different price points as I can on the channel. Used gear, new gear, cheap gear, expensive gear. Kind of get the word out about all the other gear, but yeah, it's tough. But I'm sure, me personally, I still think the Made in Mexico stuff, whether it's Charvel, whether it's EVH, whether it's the Jackson, whether it's Fender, it's still some of the best gear, and the price points are pretty friendly for what it is. I think it's good stuff. So I don't know. That's my essential take on that. I still think it's priced relatively right. I mean, I'm not happy that it's more, but relatively speaking, it's pretty good.
We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Okay, I'm going to do this one just because Mr. Bigfoot 1951 says, Phil, seventh time that I've asked this, maybe I will get an answer. You will. See? Seventh time the charm, Mr. Bigfoot 1951. This time. He says, Lab Series L5 is my main amp. Okay, any thoughts? I have lots of thoughts. Because I love the 5 amps. And the 13 axes. Yep, I'm just making sure that says what I think it does. L5, the Lab Series L5 amps, I know very little about them. This is what I know. I've probably played one once. This is what I think I know about that amp. It's solid state. I think B.B. King used one, or, you know, well, I know he used one, I think. I'm pretty sure that, but I don't know if it was his main amp or if he just used it sometimes. I know blues players that have used them. The one I plugged in and played, I remember thinking it was pretty good. it was one of those, like, plugged in and went, wow, that's nice. You know what I mean? Like a lot of amps. There's a lot of nice amps. And I think I liked it. I don't know. So to answer your question, my thoughts on it are, I think B.B. King used it. So anything he used, it's got to be good, period. Or if it wasn't good, he made it sound good. But I remember plugging into it, getting a good sound out of it right away. Not, you know, like I said, I'm not a tube snob by any means. Solid state, tube, digital, they all have a place of what I like and why I like them. So, you know, I prefer tube. And when I say prefer tube, in my personal choices tend to be tube amps. So obviously I prefer them, but I own solid state amps as well, digital amps as well. I use them all. It just depends on what I'm doing and what I'm looking for and what I want out of it. I like to tell you that tube amps, and this is something maybe ties in this, tube amps for me are usually one of two things. And one of those things don't exist anymore. But it is one, for me, it's one of two things, but one thing doesn't exist anymore. One, they're very loud. So that was like, you know, when you used to compete for volume to be loud in bands, you know, tube amps helped. You know, I have a story. I had a Randall 100 watt head, solid state, played in a band. The other guitar player had a 100 watt Marshall, and you couldn't even hear me on stage. So that was the day I learned that 100 watts solid state is not the same as 100 watts tube, because he was just killing me. You couldn't hear any of what I was playing. He was just so much louder than me. The So loud is one thing, but that's not a thing I go after anymore and I care about. So the other thing that tubes do is they have a tone and a feel that I find pleasing. I don't really need them for my audience. I'm a true believer when people tell me like, I can use a, you know, an Axe FX and play in the audience that can't tell. Absolutely. I absolutely don't think the audience can tell. And I've said this a million times over. That's why I don't believe gear is for the audience. Gear is for the artist. That's 100% what I believe. Just like I think cooking utensils are for the chef and not for the patron who's going to eat the food. I can't tell you if I ate some carrots and I went, oh, these were sliced with a $600 Japanese knife. I could totally tell by the way the curvature of the cut tastes in my mouth. Nope, can't tell. So if the chef wants a $600 knife and the food is good, then damn it, he or she should get a $600 knife and make good food. So same thing with gear. If you can make great sounds in a band with a Line 6 a Spider amp, or if you need a $4,000 2 Rock amp, I don't care. As long as what I'm listening to is pleasant, you know, I don't care. So as the audience now, and like I said, so that's why I said for tube amps, when I like tube amps, I tend to, it's for me. Because like I said, I can kind of simulate what I want it to sound like to the audience. So there you go. BC Rich 581 says pre-CBS knives. I'm sure that's a discussion somewhere, by the way. Look, I don't know anything about chefs. I know that they use expensive. I have a friend who's a chef, and I know she likes expensive Japanese knives. So I'm like, I know that's a thing. So that's why I grabbed it as an analogy. However, what I will say is, I'm sure that's an argument. I'm sure at some point the Japanese knife company went from more of like a machine process and less of a hand process. I'm just guessing, of course. And now the chefs are like, oh, you have a pre, you know, 86 knife, because it all translates everywhere you go. These discussions we're having today about the stuff we love, everybody's having on somewhere on YouTube about their stuff they love. I reached out. Remember, I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I said I was thinking about getting a new hobby, and I was wondering if the other hobbies had these same kind of people conversations in them. And some of you guys reached out and confirmed that it is true of this. So I'm like, yeah, of course. Okay. And I know I have super chats. I will definitely get to those. Robert Powell says four times now I have asked you a question. No, he's not talking to me. He says four times now I have contacted Sweetwater and asked for a deal. All four times. I don't know why I'm reading it like this. I met with a no wiggle room. Really? Like, I'm just laughing because that's what they said. There's just no wiggle room, sir. There's no wiggle room. Anyways, he says, time to change Sweetwater reps. Yeah, absolutely. Look, my son's grabbing a box for me today that came in. I bought a bunch of stuff from Sweetwater this week. After having the last week's show, when I talked about why I love the Music Nomad Ruler, my wife watched the show, and which is because I made her. It's not like she was watching it. I was making her watch the show for stuff. And she says, okay, if you love that thing so much, how come that isn't in the swag bag that goes to patrons when they sign up? And I go, I don't know. So we ordered these. I ordered, I think I did 15 of them. I can't remember. So, but it was at least 15. And I did 15 of these and then other stuff I need. And so, you know, I sent, didn't call, didn't ask. I sent my rep, Brent, a email on Monday saying, hey, I need 15 Music Nomad string action rulers. I believe these were $17. Now I'm like walking down this path going, do I tell the people that I'm sending these to what I got a discount? Because now they're going to be like, hey, it's not going to add up to the value. But it is. They were $17. I didn't know at the time, by the way. Remember last week's show, I said, I don't know what these cost because they sent me one for free. I looked it up. It's like $16, $17. So I sent him an email and I said, do you have, in fact, I should pull up the exact email and see how I worded it. Do you have a discount? Oh, like a bulk discount. I don't think I phrased it that way. I think I said, if I buy 15 of these, you have a discount for me buying multiples of the same item. And, he said yes, and he gave me a quote, and it was $13 a piece. And so that's, you know, hey, there's the math. $3-4 off each. That was pretty good, right? So times 15, 40, 50 bucks off in my pocket. So when I send these out to my patrons, that's 50 bucks in my pocket that I can use to buy more Funko Pop heads, more toys. Anyways, so here's my point. He absolutely did it for me. Now, what I don't know in your story is, you know, you asked four times. Did you ask like for a Mesa Boogie? And they're like, we don't, you know, because you're going to understand there's products that are just going to have no wiggle room. If it's back ordered and they can't get it, are they motivated to sell it? If it's a brand that's really hardcore about it, Mesa Boogie's pretty hardcore about not giving discounts. Not as hardcore as it used to be. If you guys are curious, I'll tell you, I've dealt with some hardcore companies. Zahn Bases was the most aggressive when it came to don't ever discount your stuff. Mike Fulton from Full Tone Pedals, very aggressive with not discounting, by the way. He's hardcore. I have an email to this day from him, and he's like, I don't care if it's your brother-in-law. I kind of want him, why am I making him sound like a curmudgeon-y ass? I'm sorry. But the email was kind of curmudgeon-y. He basically said, I don't care if it's your brother-in-law, no discounts. I remember going, all right. My brother-in-law doesn't play guitar. We're fine. So anyways, what's my point? Back to the subject. It's going to be important that I stay on subject. Okay, Robert. So what I'm saying is contact my rep, Brent. I don't know. Any of you, I don't care. Right? What do I get? I don't work for Sweetwater. So, you know, with Brent, he's always nice to me. I always send him emails. Like I told you, for a little while, I don't think he knew that I was on this, you know, I was doing this channel. Now he's definitely knows, mostly because I think you guys tell him, like, hey, I have Phil McKnight too. Call Sweetwater and go, hey, I want to talk to Brent. When he gets on the phone, go, hey, Brent, you're the guy, you're Phil McKnight Sweetwater rep, and I want a discount. And then when he tells you no wiggle room, then you can tell me next week. And I'll be like, I don't know. In fact, if you want to know what he looks like, I learned this over time. And I'm pretty sure I'm right. I'm learning this. Every time I do screen grabs of Sweetwater screens for the videos, because, you know, when I did the giveaway, like, here's the screen. I think because I'm logged into Sweetwater when I'm doing that, it puts his face. So when every time you see the rep's face, I think that's my rep. Isn't that funny? I never thought to ask him that, but I'm pretty sure it is. So, Robert, new Sweetwater rep board. Just ask, you know, like I said, ask Brent. He gives me, I don't ask for ridiculous stuff. So don't ask him for ridiculous stuff because, you can actually take that back. Ask him for whatever you want. I'm just telling you what works for me. I didn't tell him what I wanted. I just said, hey, if I buy a bunch of these, is there a deal? He gave me a deal. So, you know, I bought a bunch of picks as well. I think I bought 15 of the Primetone picks and 15 of the Herkel picks, because again, those are the picks I use. And I did not ask him for a deal because I just didn't do it. He might have done it. I didn't really look at the invoice, to be honest with you. It came in, and you know, to me, it's I have a business, so it's like, oh, it was like $357 or whatever. It was three something, and I send that off to my wife, who's basically the accountant. And I say, yeah, you got to pay this. and then I go, that stuff you wanted is on your way. And then I got to go back to what I got to get done. So that's my long story to tell you. Call a different rep, call my rep, call somebody. And then ultimately, like I said, I like Sweetwater. And I always tell you guys, if you click the links down below in the videos, I get a kickback from Sweetwater, like any channel that has affiliate with them. But as I always tell you guys, just call them and get a deal. Keep the money yourself. So trust me, that's the whole point of making videos. Every once in a while I get lucky, a video goes viral. A bunch of people that don't know the channel watch it and click the links, and those really probably fill it up more than anybody else. So like I said, you save your money. I appreciate it. You guys just watching and hanging out. So, okay, we have more questions. I do have a couple of the pinned ones from the beginning, and I'll come back to those that I thought were interesting. Let me catch some super chats. By the way, another thing that's cool is if you saw the new intro thumbnail, which I have right here, let me show you 1 second. It's fast, but I don't have a mic hooked up to that screen. Each of these screens I have to sign a mic to it. I didn't have a mic signed to it. So, I'll show it to you guys again. That was, Joe at Rat Pack Records, who's a good buddy, and great friend of the show, made me a thumbnail for me on Photoshop. Send it to me. I appreciate that very much. It's kind of like, I'm going to point at it right now to the page, the podcast people won't know. I don't know how to point. because I want to point four. Oh, look at that. I'm pointing at it right now. I'm pointing at a little MXR looking pedal. A viewer made this icon for me. So, you know, that fan funded thing to show that this show is funded by the patrons. So years ago, I made some really bad graphic logos, and then a viewer, just like Joe, basically reached out and said, here's a better one I did on Photoshop. I'm like, oh, cool, and I use those. So I appreciate you guys for that. It's awesome. It's why I don't have a team of editors, so every time you guys are like, this is wrong, I'm like, okay, I'll fix it. I don't have a team. I don't have a director. I don't have a film crew. I don't have anything. It's just me and my wife, who's crazy enough to do some of the stuff for the patrons and ship for me. So, I'm going to read this out of order. Thunder Falcon says, light up those Bad Cat amps. You know what's funny about that? I did. They were lit up when I was going to do this today. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. They're too bright. They basically glare out the camera. So you can't even read it says Bad Cat. It just looks like a white little blur. So they're just too bright for this camera because the room is dark. Like I said, I'm lit up with these lighting and this lighting. And so the rooms, like I told you guys, one of the things you learn making so much content is that a lot of times, you know, everything's lit up like on, just like in the movies. So it looks like it's normal, but it's not. Right now, like if I don't have a piece of paper. I have a napkin. If I was holding a piece of paper like here, I could barely read it. It's how dark it is in here. I have to move it this way so I can see the light here. But as soon as I can hear, it gets darker. And by the time I get here, I barely read this. It's dark. So there you go. It's all the movie magic. I don't want to ruin it for you, but that's what it is. We need to do Litvay. Litvay says Strat pickup. Okay. Was installed directly into the body. Oh, direct mount pickup. Gotcha. Okay. So I'm assuming you mean like a single coil or a Strat pickup. I'm saying a single coil. It says directly into the body with a wood screw. Now I want to use it with a pick guard, but the screw holes are too big. What to do? Yeah, that's easy. Let me try. This is tough because a Strat pickup's different. Let me type in, and I'll show you guys. Mini humbucker. Nut, sure. And then try Stu Mac, but you could get it at a hardware store. I just want to show you one. I just want to know where I can find one. And there you go. Okay. All right, here we go. Let me show you this too. Check it out. Here you go. So what this is a 9-cent thing, but you know, it's Stu Mac. So it'd be 9 cents plus $10 to ship it. So don't do that. This is what you need. What I would do, so this is for, this one's probably for the type of screw. In fact, they might have, yeah, look at that. They always do this kind of stuff. This is why I like Stu Mac. You can find, by the way, use Stu Mac. If you don't use their tools, use at least their website as a resource. They make all these crazy stuff, and then do yourself a favor. Look, I like I've said before, I've spent a fortune Stu Mac over the years because when you're doing stuff and getting paid for it, it really breaks down the cost of the stuff fast. You know, when you have to pay, when you pay Stu Mac $500 and you can make, $1,000 in a week doing repairs, you're like, hey, this kind of pays it off really fast. However, that being said, you can use Stu Mac's website as a template to find, things like here, 64 cent screw. Maybe you can find it cheaper somewhere else. So these are for humbuckers. You said, a single coil, but I need to show you what at least you're looking for. What you want to do is go get yourself. I would just go, and you're in a different country, but I would really go, let me go back. I was pushing the wrong thing. Let me go back to me. I would go, to a hardware store, take the screw, for that. You know, the size, right? Take it to your hardware store and find a screw that's like that, a non-wood screw, of course, and get that and a matching nut. Put the nut behind the bottom of the pick, the pickup, and just do that, and it'll work. If you really want to make your life easy, I would also put a dot of super glue. So I take the nut, line it up with the holes that are in the bottom of the pickup. So let's pretend this is the base of the pickup and you have two holes drilled through on each side. I would put the nut underneath, center it up so it looks, so the holes line up perfect. Put one dot, maybe two dots on each side of super glue. Okay, so it holds there, and then run the screws through that. Do that. Absolutely easy fix. And if you go to, if they have hardware stores where you are, like they do here, you can walk in there and literally get somebody to help you and walk out for like 38 cents. I'm not even exaggerating. I just did it. I had to mount a TV on the wall, and Ralph helped me. This was a couple weeks ago, and we went to the Ace Hardware, and it was literally like $1.34. And the kid came. There was a kid this time. Usually it's an older gentleman who's out, but this guy was a kid. He's a long haired kid, and he's helped us. Spent 5-10 minutes, which based on minimum wage in my state means they lost about $6 helping me to make my dollar purchase. But hey, they still do it. God bless them. So that's what I would do. Do that stuff. There you go. Susan says, I just found my hobby's Swiss Army knives. They are great. This one is a Swiss Army knife that I've had forever, and it was chewed on by a dog. I don't know which one of my dogs. Oh, no. I'm sorry. This predates my dogs. This is a cat. If you could see the little teeny cat teeth in it. I had a cat chew off. Look at that. Like, that's a, like, I always thought to this day, like, what was that cat? Like, what? Right? Like, that cat really wanted this thing. And, yeah, chewed it up. Still works this day, which is why I like stuff like this. I love stuff you can just buy, torture, and keep forever. It's awesome. Okay. There's my Swiss Army knife, and sponsored by a Swiss Army knife, I wish. Antique Rocker says, wiring two humbuckers into a three-way switch, one tone, one volume. Kit diagram shows all ground soldered to the volume pot with ground to bridge. With ground to bridge. Why not solder ground wires separately if needed, one run to pot? Yeah, you can do that. It's ground. Once it's all touching, it's all touching. Do it however you want. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. You can do it however you want. As long as they're grounded. Ground is ground. It's super easy. It's not, they're just, you know. So, you know, I've written many diagrams over the years. You know, you share them publicly, you know, that's what happens, right? So guitar techs across the whole planet Earth, you know, you solve a problem, you write a diagram. Nowadays, you know, I've been around long enough to where it predates when Seymour Duncan and Guitar Labs and everybody else started printing, you know, are putting, diagrams out. You know, before the internet, literally you would get your diagrams in those pickups, but you know, you'd buy a used Seymour Duncan and there would be no diagram, and then there's no internet to go to. So you just start keeping diagrams. And then you know, when the internet started, we started putting them all out there. So a lot of diagrams that I've drawn over the years have literally just I literally wrote them slightly different than how I did them because, you know, sometimes they're only in black and white, so you want people to see the thing. So sometimes a diagram actually is not 100% accurate. It just makes more sense as a diagram than it did physically there. That's why I tell you guys all the time when you're working on guitars, get out those cell phones and take some pictures. In fact, like I said, that's just the rule for everything now. You work on anything. I don't care what it is, right? You unplug the cables behind your TV, take a picture first. Just have, you know, why not? Pictures are free. You don't have to develop them now. You don't, you know, your camera is always with you. Take a picture, have it in there. Later, if you have a problem, you have a resource to go back to. Definitely with guitars. If I take anything apart on a guitar, I'll take a picture. The only exception to that is, you know, this is what happens. You do something enough times, sometimes you don't take a picture. Like, I could do this in my sleep, so I don't do that. But if you've never done it before, definitely take those pictures. Okay. And I hope that was the core of your question. That's what I got from it. But I appreciate it. Thank you, Antique Rocker. Okay. So Happy Go Lucky says, I love all the weird spellings. You guys are awesome. Antique Rocker had a capital ROC and then small KER. Happy Go Lucky is LUKKY. I love this. Instead of CKY. Okay. Anyways, it says, love the show and finish the podcast. Okay. I'm gassing for an SG. They are awesome. Any Gibson years to avoid, things to watch out, in the used market specific to the SGs. You know, if you don't have an SG, there's not a whole lot to worry about. If you have an SG, I will tell you this, finding two SGs that are alike is really tough. As you know, I just recently bought my green one, and it's amazing. But it's, even though it's specced out almost exactly like my my Tobacco Burst one, I don't know if that's the actual name of it, but it's a Tobacco Burst. They are still slightly different in the feel of the neck and stuff, and obviously different block inlays. It's weird, like I said. So no, if you like the thicker necks, go to the 50 style, just like Gibson. Just if you like the thinner necks, go to the 60 style. That's pretty much it. I will tell you that I found no dividend to paying more for the SGs. In other words, you know, if you buy the $3,000 SGs, I pick those up and I don't feel anything that's like, oh, you know, so picking up an SG is, and if you can get one of those satin finished, you know, specials, those are great. I have a SG with two P90s in it. And, you know, I picked it up dirt cheap, and it's just as good as my other SGs, and it's got slightly thicker 50 style C shape to it. It's really good. So nothing really to worry about. Obviously with Gibson, you're going to get flaws. Even my SG, the one you guys keep seeing in videos, I should show you guys. I can't show you here because it wouldn't come out in the camera, but I should show you in a video. There's like, they taped off around the nut and they went too far when we peeled the tape off. There's no finish on the neck. Like, and they clear coated over it. It's so obnoxious that you expect to see that on like a $100, $200 guitar, maybe, but not a real, you know, American made, you know, high end Gibson. So yeah, you're going to see flaws. That's part of the charm of a Gibson. I know that sounds kind of like a marketing spin on that, but it is reality of it. That's one of the things I don't care about. I've learned that. One good thing about being consistent with being inconsistent is that there is this there is this like pass they get. And I know that because if you bought and sold any Gibsons in your travels, you know, over the years, it's like people really don't scrutinize them. Try to selling a used PRS, man. You'll have somebody going through it. You know, and every little mark means something to the cost. But Gibsons, you can be like, oh yeah, they put the logo on upside down. And people are like, yeah, they do that. And then they just buy it from you. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. Like I said, find something cool. Don't forget Epiphones too. Very cool. Like I said, I like both, but I told you I buy the SGs because, I know Gibsons. I know when I see a good price on a Gibson and I buy it, I know I can always get my money back. And so that makes it easy to dabble in that market. Epiphones, you have to buy them pretty cheap because they fluctuate like crazy. Sometimes they're worth more than sometimes they're worth less depending on what's going on. And then Matthew's saying, hey, look at the headstock for brakes. Sure, I have a whole video on, you know, going through used guitars and stuff. Always check every guitar for headstock brakes and stuff like that. That's, you know, all that stuff. You can use a black light on the Gibsons. It depends. Like I said, it depends on how, you know, careful we want to go. But if you're looking at new ones, you don't have to worry about that stuff. But used ones, I would definitely inspect everything on it to make sure. But I've always stick with this as much as I've done those on those videos. I'm pretty sure I say this too when I talk about all the things you can inspect. And I have inspection sheets on the links in those videos so you can get download the PDFs if you want something to write out. I always tell people if you're buying used, always try to get a sense of the seller. The seller will tell you everything. You know what I mean? Because really what you want to know is this a person who's just trying to sell you something and get out of there and they're done, one and done, go. And if they are, then you need a deal. That's my experience. I don't even travel that road unless I know I'm getting a smoking deal. As soon as I know that, because I'm like, I don't want to be left with this, you know, guitar, and then they don't care, and that happens a lot. But if I'm dealing with a credible seller or somebody I think has a good person, because I've met them or I know them or I've interacted with them and they're giving the right vibes, I go down that road with the purchase. But I look at the seller more than I look at the actual guitar or the product. And I've always done that. And I always feel like that pays a good dividend. Like I told you guys, if you meet somebody at Craigslist in the parking lot, as soon as you sense they're not on the up and up, don't buy it. It's just, you know, I'm not saying you should go and waste people's time, but also be aware. If they're giving you the vibe, there's probably something wrong. You know, trust your instincts. It's how we used to survive being eaten by wolves. Hey, I don't think I should go in the forest at night with those glowing eyes. Those who thought like that live. Those who didn't, they're not here anymore. Meester says, happy KYG Friday. Gonna use your video and install the Trimmel. No. Oh, I need a Strauss Ibanez. That's awesome. Love the guitar, but hate tuning a Floyd. Absolutely. Thanks. And he's so basically, yeah, of course. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. I always say this, and I always say this when it comes to Floyd Rose style guitars. Like I have one behind me. It was a Floyd, the Sinister Gates. Some people, I have all kinds of videos, like all kinds of channels have good videos out there like this. But I have videos like how to set up your Floyd, how to restring your Floyd Rose, how to block your Floyd. And I always remind everybody, if your first time with a Floyd Rose, block it. Just start there. Trust me, get a feel for it. You gotta, you know what I mean? It's a lot to take in. Some people really fear the Floyd Rose bridge. I can understand why, but really once you understand it, you won't. You know what I mean? And so a lot of times you get that kind of grief from players. Like, oh, you can't figure it out. It's super easy. It's not super easy, but you can figure it out. Super easy in comparison is what I mean. It's not as super easy as compared to other bridges. But yeah, always never be afraid to block a Floyd Rose. There's lots of great tools, and you can make a, you know, you can. When I did the video on how to basically block a Floyd Rose, I did the three types. You can use some pennies because if you're broke, or you know, coins. You can use a tremolo, or you can use a piece of wood. I usually use a piece of wood if I block my Floyds, and I've said this before. I only have about one. Maybe one of all my Floyds are blocked. Because if I have a guitar with a Floyd, it's because I don't want it blocked. You know what I mean? I want a Floyd, like these two guitars behind me. I wanted a, this is a hardtail, and that's a Floyd. So I want them to be different when I play them and how the bridges feel. But if I had less guitars, or if I want a Floyd and I didn't want to, you know, worry about all the time, you could block it. Super easy thing to deal with. Magic Man said, Floyd Rose, he likes them, but they're a pain, but they're worth it. Yeah, Floyds are one of those things that there's a lot of, you know, kind of products like this where it takes a small investment of time at the beginning of everything. So restringing Floyd takes longer than a standard, like a string through body bridge like this, but it's going to stay in tune more than this bridge, and it's going to take more abuse, and you can do all kinds of cool whammy tricks with it. So... Okay. All right. I'm trying to, let's see, what are we doing? Looking at our subjects. What time is it? We still can go. I want to go a little longer before I do the cool unveiling thing I'm going to unveil. So let's go through some more questions. This is from David, who says, are Warmoth strats good? Okay. Since you put a question mark there, I'll start there. Warmoth parts are good. I like their necks. I like their bodies. Of course, like anything, they get more and more expensive. So, I mean, it's something that I like them. If that's my go-to parts company for bodies and necks if I want high-end stuff. I think their stuff is definitely... as good as, like, let me put it this way. I think Warmoth is making guitar bodies and necks as good as Kiesel is making guitars and necks, as Sir is making guitars and necks, as, you know what I mean, as Friedman guitars are making guitars and necks. I mean, they're definitely of that caliber in the way that they're made. They may not be fit and finished, and they don't have all the styles, but quality-wise, you're getting a good quality guitar. But, I mean, the difference, though, is that Sir, Kiesel, and Friedman are finishing those guitars, so that's why those guitars may end up just a little nicer than what Warmoth puts out. But I think it's raw parts. I think Warmoth is making good raw parts, which is why Warmoth has been an OEM for certain companies over the years, making their parts. I mean, people bought expensive guitars with Warmoth parts. I mean, it's very common in this industry. So the next part of your question is thinking of a baritone neck and using a Gibson Custom Shop P90s. I like baritones and P90s. I'm not a big baritone person as I don't own a baritone, but when I play baritones, I would definitely, if I was going to own a baritone, it'd probably be with P90s for sure. The mid range punch of the P90s and the baritone would kind of come together nicely. It's a good combo. Yeah, absolutely. What bridge do you recommend? Well, it's a baritone. I'd do a hardtail bridge. I wouldn't do a tremolo. I'm not big into the tremolo baritones. And then he basically said he's thanking me for the entertainment. You're welcome. Okay, Jack T says, my Reverend G20 makes loudish popping noise when switching from 20 watts to 4 watt mode. What could cause this? I love the channel. Listen to every podcast. So I'm not super familiar with that amp, but so let me tell you what I am familiar with is obviously these switches when they switch down to up and down, and it's not, I don't know how loud the popping-ish noise is. So I would say a loud pop would be a problem, you know, if it's like gunk, you know what I mean? It was just huge and it was louder than the actual volume of the amp that you're playing at. That might be something to be aware of. But it is not uncommon for amps to have a kind of a slight kind of pop when you're doing things, because basically you're putting something in line. You're putting some kind of resistance in line to cut it from 20 watts to 4 watts. And that's why I say it's tricky, because I don't know that amp, so I don't know which way they're doing it. There's a couple different ways to get to the same place when it comes to dropping the wattage of an amplifier. Sometimes, you know, with the attenuators, there's different ways to do that. But what would be really nice is everybody out there that has, because I know a lot of you guys have the Reverend G20 amp. If any of you could chime in, like yes, no, if that's something he should be concerned with, maybe he should be taking it somewhere to have it looked at. That would be nice. Like I said, downfall is, I can only tell you, it doesn't sound like a huge problem, but it. I also am not familiar with that exact amp. Tim says, happy happy Friday, Phil. Happy Friday. He says, keep doing what you're doing. I am. I'm doing it right now with you. We're doing it. We're having a happy Friday. Okay, I got to do it. I got to do the segue. So, as you guys know, I get stuff sometimes sent to me by fans, and I try to feature some of it on the show, not too much of it. And I know some of you guys send me stuff, and some stuff I don't feature, and some stuff I do. And it's usually what I feature is, it usually is because it's either too extreme and I got to share it, or in most cases, I think maybe you find it interesting. So this happened, and this is something that happened with a viewer who reached out and talked to my wife, and they hatched this plan. Now, what's cool is that viewer might be watching now. So what's great about this is I'm going to tell you something, and then they're going to discover what it is with you guys. So right now, 1,000 people watching, here's what I want to tell you. I am a massively huge Bruce Campbell fan. I have talked about this many times on the show. Bruce Campbell is an actor. He was obviously in The Army in Darkness, Evil Dead 1 and 2. Why am I having a trouble now? he was in Burn Notice, right? He was Coach Boomer, if you're into Disney, right? So anyways, somebody I really, really admire, somebody I really like. I like him for his, he does QAs. I took a lot of cues from him over the years, watching him do all these QAs before I started doing my QAs. Hey, Matt Harrison said, groovy. Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's what happened. This viewer that watches the live show, watches the podcast, I guess heard me talking about that I'm a huge Bruce Campbell fan and that I'm a huge Army of Darkness fan. And he reached out, talked to my wife. They orchestrated what I'm about to share with you. And I got a letter from him. And I'm not going to read the letter entirely like I always do. I want to kind of just go to the point of it. So his name is John Mesa. And his brother is William Mesa. And they worked on Army of Darkness. They worked on the movie Army of Darkness. I'm trying not to. This is going to be crazy. Cause I just, it's crazy. So basically he and his brother did special effects on the movie Army of Darkness. And he's a fan of the show. And so what happened was through him and orchestrating this with my wife, he sent me this amazing letter, which is very kind. And it talks about how he's a fan of the show and how him and his brother, William, worked on the Army of Darkness movie. And he wanted to send me a gift. And so what he did is he sent me some photos. Now, I'm going to show you the photos, and then what I did is I'm going to share. So hold on. So he sent me some photos. Here's him and some of the awards. And these are the actual skeletons from the movie, the miniatures. See? I think he did this for scale. Now, before I go on to the other photos, I did this. Look at that. So here are photos that he actually took, him and his brother took. That's him and his brother. See, at the castle, they built the castle. They signed this picture for me, as you can see right there in the corner. See, there's the signatures. They signed the picture for me. These are actual photos that they took of while they're working the movie. And there's the book. I have the book on audio. I have it on, what do you call it? I don't know what you call it. I'm so old. I'm going to books on tape. I don't, it's not books on tape. I have it on, it's right here on my phone, Audible. So I have, If Chens Can Kill on Audible, but he sent me an actual copy of the book signed by Bruce Campbell that says Groovy on it. So that's pretty, pretty freaking crazy. However, then he sent me this, and this is an actual gravestone miniature prop. I'm going to share it to you with you, the picture. Here it is. This is from the movie. If you guys saw the graveyard, you guys understand when I was showing you the pictures. Let me go back. That they did. This is the gravestone I'm showing you. That's what it looks like close up. This is from the cemetery when they had the miniature, because remember they did it through through miniatures back then. This is predates special effects, CGI computers, right? So when they had the, and it'll come back around in a second, when you see the skeletons, the miniature skeletons right there, when they're all fighting and they use miniatures, they used miniatures like the castle, this gravestone. This is an actual miniature from the movie and very detailed, by the way. That's why I took a really good picture of it. So it's an actual piece of the movie. He put me a little card with it. Like I said, I have to turn it this way to read it. It says, this was used in the stop motion miniature. This is a gravestone from the stop motion miniature part of the movie. Army of Darkness was one of the most fun films I ever worked on, John Mesa. And I don't know how, first, I don't know how to explain the world that we live in now. That how something like that can happen, so big can be so small. Like, how does it, I'm this huge fan of Army of Darkness. I have a guitar podcast, and then the guy who works on that movie, he literally watches the podcast, and then he's like, I want to send you something. So I told my wife, I go, we got to do something. And she says, okay. So I'm going to show you. This is what he doesn't know about. So she made him a shirt, because, you know, that's my thing. I like having custom little things. Look at this. So John hasn't seen it because I know because it's not been shipped out to him yet. But I want to show you. Look at that. She made him a Know Your Gear shirt that says Groovy. And she put the chainsaw on the hand for him. And then I'm going to actually swag him up with some other cool stuff. So he, you know, to say thank you back, John. So watching the show, if John's watching right now, or if he watches the replay, he will get a swag bag back. So I'll give him some cool stuff. I don't have anything cool as what he gave me. I'd like to here's an actual piece of a guitar knob used in this video. It won't be as cool, but I promise, the shirt will be custom made, I'll swag him up with some cool stuff that I use, you know, like I do with you guys. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. I don't know how many of you would be excited about it, but I'm pretty freaking stoked about it. And it was really good timing. It's always great when things line up perfectly. Like I told you, I've been dealing with the fact that my daughter, you know, we're like, oh, we got to take her somewhere and do something. And my wife's foot's broken. I broke my toe, by the way, which is only somewhat hilarious. I've only broke two bones in my entire life. And both are my pinky toes. And I've now broke each one at some point in my life, doing it this way we all do it. I was walking around the corner in the kitchen and it just caught the thing. I broke my toe like 2 weeks ago. So I'm sitting there. So it's been a crazy couple weeks getting work done, getting this stuff done. So there you go. I thought I'd share that with you guys. Thank you, John. And thank you to your brother for making an amazing movie. I'm a huge, like I said, huge fan of Bruce Campbell, of those movies. This is pretty badass. Thank you, man. So I thought I'd share. There you go. I'm sharing with you guys that. So, yeah, Daryl says, Army of Darkness KYG shirt. You know what's funny was, like, I go, yeah, this. She basically told me, she's like, yeah, when I was talking to him, she's like, I figured I'd do something special for him. And I was like, okay, cool. And she's like, she goes, so I thought maybe we'd do a chainsaw shirt. I'm like, yeah. By the way, John, so if you're watching this, I begged her for one for me too. But I'll get mine after yours, is what she told me. That's all right. So... Right. All right. There you go. Jesus, that was just cool, man. All right. And also, hope you guys realize again, think about how cool this is. The guys who make special effects for a movie play freaking guitar. See, we're everywhere. We're musicians are everywhere. And we do everything. So let's go back to guitar stuff, because that's what we do here, I guess. All right, let's start off with somewhere I left off. we're gonna leave off. I'm gonna start off with ER Webster. What's up, ER? He says, there is a guitar that I am totally not going to buy, even though I've been checking it out 2 or 3 times per day. Thoughts on semi-hollow Ibanez? yeah, I really like semi-hollow Ibanez. Look, I've been very clear about the semi-hollows. For me, I'm a big fan of the semi-hollow Ibanezes and Epiphones. They're really cool guitars. I like them. I think they feel good. They have good fit and finish. You know, and especially semi-hollows, because there's, you know, the only thing's really mod on them. Maybe upgrade the tuning keys, maybe the pickups and the electronics, which are easy but a pain in the butt. I say easy because it's not really complicated. It just takes a long time. Fishing stuff out and fishing it back through. If you want to upgrade that stuff. But no, I think that's an easy way to go. What I will tell you is, like I just recently, obviously I just did the D'Angelico semi-hollow review. Obviously, I did the Firefly semi-hollow review. There's another semi-hollow review coming very soon, which is Sire. I pushed that back because there's no Sires in stock. So you'd be like, hey, check this out. You can't get one. What I will tell you is reviewing them, working on them, playing them over the years is semi-hollows. And I didn't say this in the Firefly video, and I don't know why. I kind of talked about, somebody said, you talked about you liking the Epiphone more. Why? And it's because I really wanted to focus on the fact that the Firefly was an affordable price point. What I will tell you, with a semi-hollow guitar especially, every penny you spend, you are going to be buying something that's tangible, because of the fact that those guitars, like, so I'm not telling you have to buy a nice one or expensive one. What I'm saying is every penny spent seems to net a good result. And I'm sure there's a point, don't get carried away, I'm sure there's a point where it doesn't pay a dividend. But what I'm telling you is when I play a $6,000 semi-hollow guitar, I'm not saying it's great. What I'm saying is I pick up a guitar that I feel like is exponentially better than the $3,000 one, who's exponentially better than the $1,001 one, who's exponentially better than the $500 one. There seems to be a consistency there. And what I see when it comes to fit and finish time, because the fact that semi-hollow guitars, like acoustic guitars, have so much hand time on them, that the more hand time on them, more time spent on them doing stuff, will pay a dividend. So I think the Ibanez are a great way to go. I used to be a huge Washburn semi-hollow fan, but they don't make that many anymore, and I don't see them. But those are other ones I like very, very much, I should say. I just said excuse me, even though I muted when I cleared my throat. Sorry about that. Clown, why do I always say clown? It's Clan of House Cats. Got a Gibson / Appetite from Sweetwater. After I set it up, truss rod feels maxed out after having the neck straight. Arm stains. I don't know what that means. Arm stains. Let's go back. Diodario 10-52. So let's get, he's saying, after he set it up, the truss rod feels maxed after having the neck straight. Okay. But is that a problem? Like, I understand the concern. If I've seen that an issue with guitars before, where people are like, hey, the guitar plays great, but I'm actually at the end of the tolerances of what I need. So for instance, like I've seen people be concerned with, like, okay, the action's fine and I love it, but the bridge is all the way down and it can't go any lower. And so the concern is that if something happens in the future, I don't have any wiggle room. I don't have any wiggle room to kind of mess with that stuff. That always is a fear. And what I would tell you is, if it's a high-end guitar like that and you kind of feel like, okay, it plays great, but yeah, if something goes wrong, I have an issue, you may want to deal with that issue now. In other words, you may want to reach out to Sweetwater and see about swapping it out for another one on an expensive guitar like that. Because again, if something does happen, look, I would definitely vet it out fully before being kept with it, because you will be the problem. You'll be the person taking the brunt of that financial issue later, if it is an issue. And that goes for anybody. If you buy an instrument, this is really a concern sometimes with acoustics, right? You have to sand the saddle down on the bridge, and by the time the action's right, you know, you've killed all the material. That makes you a little nervous, and I understand that. So yeah, like I said, definitely vet it out. Guitars should have a little bit of ability to go you know, back up a little bit, back down a little bit. You don't want anything ever maxed out. Same with the truss rod. If your neck's bone straight, but your truss rod is so as tight as it can get, it's a little concerning. Like I said, I don't want to give that too much concern because sometimes it's not the end of the world, but it does lead you to want to be cautious about that. Greg says, hey, a tip for no reason. What? Thank you. Said, I did see you're over 319,000 subs now, maybe 400,000 by the time next year. Let's see. By next year, 400,000. Nope, that wouldn't happen. My max on my channel, and I don't want to jinx it, but I want to tell you, I am a consistent machine on YouTube. I have been since the day, and I'll tell you why I think that is, especially again, whenever this comes up. What I mean by that is I hit 1 million views 1 month on YouTube. And then every month after that, I've always hit 1 million. I have like 1 month where I was in the high 900,000 range. Actually, it's not true because that month I deleted some videos out. So it just killed the numbers a little bit. But I do 1 million views. Like sometimes I'll do 1.5 million. Sometimes I do 1.6. Sometimes I'm 1.2 or 1.2. I've been 2 million views in a month. But man, every month, 1 million views. If you look at my total views for videos on channel. Subscribers, same thing, man. My subscriber rate is just a consistent machine of like this number. I very rarely peak up, and I very rarely dip super down, even though some channels do. They drop a lot, and then they get a lot, and especially they get a lot. And here's why, why I think that is on this channel, why my numbers are consistent. Because I watch other channels too, like a lot of you guys do, and I can tell you because I look at their metrics like mine, and you can see that they swing much differently than mine kind of stays this way for years. Like I said, it's like bam. Like, look, I shouldn't say that because I am slowly moving up because overall, like I said, my average views 3 years ago, just go off 3 years metrics, 3 years ago, I was averaging 20,000 views per video. You guys don't think that because you guys see a video go, oh, we got 500,000 or 500,000 views, or this video got 100,000 views and this video got 5,000 views. Yeah, that's what happens. You're all over the place based on your subject, time of year, how much videos you're pumping on the channel. But average view video is 20,000 views for me. Was like that for years. Now it's averages about 30,000 views per video. So I'm up about 10,000 views per video on average. I believe that's because of COVID, more people watching content at home. So I don't think that's going to stay with me forever. I think I'll go slowly back down to the 20,000 views per video. What I will tell you is, like I said, consistency in my views, consistency in my subscriptions, which has always been moderately, you know, stable. Like I said, I don't want to say, because it's not great. My subscription rate is not great, but it's not low either. It's just consistent. Here's why I think it's consistent. Because I believe in I have a different philosophy than some channels, for sure. And I mean some channels, I don't mean big channels. I mean all channels on YouTube. Some channels focus on new viewership. I focus on my current viewership. It's not a new strategy. It's not my strategy. I didn't invent it. It's been used by successful bands all around the world to say some bands care about making an album that's going to break into a new audience. And some bands think, how can we make the current fans even more excited about what we do? Maybe we need a behind the scenes video. Maybe we need, not a greatest hits, but a greatest hits album, you know, done differently for the fans. So if you notice with my video content, even my giveaways are really kind of focused on you guys more so than like, hey, if you're new to my channel, you're going to win a guitar. It's really not the focus there. The focus is to reward the current base. You know, it's why sometimes I don't even announce things. You know what I mean? I just do them. I think that's been my focus. Same thing with this show every week. It's how do I get the people that show up every week to keep coming every week and hold this audience this size? A lot of you guys notice there's 1,055 of you. That's a common number for this channel. On a live show, we'll get a low week will be 800 for us, and a high week will be 1,100. We stay in that range. We don't really peak up too much, you know, right? That's why I'm not looking for anything too crazy out there. Just stay focused on what I have here and make sure the people that here are happy. So there you go. Okay. So There you go. I think that was the core. I think that answered the non-question. He didn't even have a question, and he got that information. That's what I was going to say. I should end this. I try to end everything with something that you can take away from this. If you're a YouTube channel, I would definitely focus on that. I have found great success with that. That's my success. I would love to tell you, how to be the next, Tyler Larson or the next, whoever's getting, millions and millions, Rick Beato. And besides being great channels, that helps, but I don't know how to do that. Okay. I've hung out many times with Marty Schwartz and his manager, Michael, and I consider them good friends. And, he's 3 million subscribers and he knows how to grow a channel. Let me just tell you. And I've took a little bit of that information and I kind of used it a little bit, but then I realized like, that's not me. That's him. He can grow a channel. That's his focus. I want to do, like I said, I want to build my community and hold it. And so what I will tell you is if you're a channel, I would focus on that. Everybody seems to focus like, how do I get to 10,000 subscribers? I'm like, I don't know. How about this? Why don't you worry how to be a successful channel with 2,000 subscribers? And then it won't matter because 10,000 will be successful, right? I tell everybody this, swear to God truth. I was successful, and as far as I'm concerned, on this channel at 30,000 subscribers. At 30,000 subscribers, I was making some kind of money on YouTube. Things were kind of happening. The success was there. The only success that wasn't there is maybe companies weren't sending free gear, but that wasn't really a goal for me at that point. I already had nice gear. In fact, gear now for me is about churning it. That's why we're doing the giveaways. I'm like, what are we going to do with these guitars? Let's give them away. All right. I hope that helps. Bradley says, oh no, I skipped somebody. But I'll do Bradley and then I'll go back. Bradley says, hey, got a good deal on some pedals at Sweetwater. Asked if they could give me a deal on any. Saved $100. Only spent $700. My wife is pissed. I'm assuming it's pissed. But it's all good. Thanks for all. He goes, thanks for everything you do. Your wife's going to be more pissed now. You understand that, Bradley, right? I hope your wife's not in the room because I don't want her to hear this. But she's like, hey, what did you do? I spent $700 on pedals. What the F? Oh, and I gave a YouTuber $20. I hope this wasn't a super chat just to spite her. It's like, you think you're pissed about $700 in useless pedals. Here's $20 going to a useless YouTube channel. I'm just kidding. I hope I'm not useless. But yes, I will have a beer on you. I did not. I said last weekend, I think I said I was going to have a drink and a good time. And like I said, we went to the thing. What happened was my sinuses went crazy. I don't know what that was. I don't know what I did. I feel like all of a sudden I never said never. I've had it happen about a couple years ago where my sinuses went nuts, where you just have that sinus head where your head hurts and you can feel all this pressure right there. And you take the Sudafed or whatever you take and nothing's working. And man, when you feel like that, just, it doesn't feel good to drink. So back to Rick. Rick says, have you ever reviewed Planet Tone pickups? I have not. There are a few pickups out there that obviously I haven't reviewed or checked out. But I hear good things. You guys always are sending me cool new pickups and stuff. And we talked about doing more pickup videos. And I've been kind of off them a little while lately. Cause that's what happens. You go through trends. I tried it. It has nothing to do with companies sending stuff out or money, stuff like that. It has usually to do with like fun factor. You know what I mean? It's hard getting up the energy sometimes when I'm making these videos, like, okay, what do I want to talk about? What am I excited about? If I'm excited, I can kind of chug through an hour of talking in a video much easier than if I'm like, like, what are we going to talk about? What's new and exciting? Pickups are a little difficult to get excited about all the time, just like guitars and pedals. So maybe I'll go back. Now, like I said, well, I like it when you guys poke at me a little bit like this, like, hey, what do you think of this? Now I know to go back and check that out. Voodoo Fist says, hey, Phil, are you going to be reviewing one of those Gibson Tony Iommi SGs? I am not. It says with P90s in the near future. I have no plans. Says I want to buy one from Sweetwater, but it would be cool to see if you review one first. Well, you never know. They might send something out. Like I said, right now, I just want to be clear. I don't know this to be true. Okay. What I'm about to tell you, Voodoo Fist, but I feel pretty confident in what I'm about to say. Obviously, the peeps at Sweetwater have been listening to the podcast. This is very evident as they've reached out a lot of Mondays now and said, hey, your audience was talking about this. Let's get this shipped out. They've done that. I don't think they have any plans in the near future to stop doing that. So that's great. However, they just shipped me a bunch of stuff. And so what I would guess is, I would say at least for the next 2 weeks, they're not going to probably listen to anything you guys suggest and send anything. They might. I could be wrong. I'd be listening right now and be like, what is Phil talking about? We're totally going to send out a Tony Iommi's SG to get that on the channel and maybe do a giveaway or do something. I got to get through what they sent out because it just showed up like Thursday of this week. So there'll be some videos of stuff, including the Vela versus Vela video. Grumpy Mike Guitar. What's up, Grumpy Mike? Grumpy Mike Guitar says, what does he want to know? He says, I want to wish my daughter a happy belated 17th birthday. I hope she enjoyed the show. She absolutely loved the show. She was in hysterics the entire show. She's a huge John Mulaney fan. My daughter's favorite part of the show was, if you're not a John Mulaney fan, if you guys don't know John Mulaney, he's a stand-up comic. Obviously, he's got a bunch of specials on Netflix right now. And he's really big with the teenage girl community. And that I'm aware of. And so I think he's hilarious too. But what's funny is during his stand-up, he was talking about meeting somebody's a middle-aged man and talking to him. And they said, are you a comedian? And he's like, yeah. And he says, I've never heard of you. And he goes, yeah, ask your daughter. And my daughter's died hysterics because obviously we were there that night because of her. So the girls laughed a little harder in the audience than you know, everybody else. But it was still very good. Very good show. It was one of my favorite stand-up shows. And I've seen a lot of stand-up shows. I've gone to as many stand-up comedians as rock bands, for sure. My favorite stand-up show that you didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you anyways, my favorite stand-up show, it was George Carlin. To be fair, it's one of those things that will never get topped, not because he's the greatest, even though he is the GOAT, man. He's the greatest of all times, as far as I'm concerned. Like I said, I saw him literally before shipping out to MEPS. my mom and her friend took me to Buddy's Grill. It's just a restaurant that was in Tucson. I don't think it's there anymore. And we had Oysters Rockefeller and Chicken Sonoma. See how crazy this is? Like, I don't even know how I can remember all this crap. Chicken Sonoma, Oysters Rockefeller, and then we went and saw George Carlin live. And then, you know, obviously. And then the next morning I had to get up and they took me to MEPS in Phoenix to go to the Army. So that is it's an unbeatable moment. Just, I hate to say it. Great. You see the GOAT of all comedians. And then literally, you know, before a life-changing event, like, you know, obviously being screamed at and spit in the face the next couple days. Well, not a couple days, but in a couple days, kind of sticks in your head. Plus that food was really good. It was really nice to have like that meal, you know, for right before basic. B-Side Studio said, hey, Phil, I got an Iron Ball SE, a Vox AC-15 with Creamback and a Mesa DC-3. Okay, I'll have great cleans. Gear pressure is telling me I need a Fender Deluxe. Do I really? Or is it close enough and good enough? Look, I know the rule in the show. If you think you need it, you should buy it, kind of thing. But in retrospect, I want to kind of hit you on this. I don't have all those amps, but I've played all those amps. I currently have the Iron Ball SE and the Deluxe Reverb. Look, the Deluxe is its own thing, man. That's what sucks. You have three great clean amps. I don't want to tell you you have to buy another amp. Another amp's tough because more amps is more real estate. They're not like guitars. I mean, you can put two guitars in the same space as one amp, right? So, I mean, you know what I mean? And you can hang them on the wall and you can't hang the amps. Amps take up real estate. They're a little harder for, you know, to have as a purchase in the home for sure and justify. Me personally, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you, look, the AC-15 is a fantastic amp. I don't think you should want for anything from the clean channel on that. The Iron Ball's got a great clean channel. The DC-3 is great clean channel. But the 65 Deluxe is its own unique. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful tone. Do you need it? No, absolutely you don't need it. But will it be different than those amps and will it give you something unique? Yes. Will you be missing out? No. The only thing to think about is that's really all the Deluxe is going to bring to the party. Is this one beautiful, luscious, clean, and beautiful reverb. I can tell you right now, none of those amps that you have the reverb tank that the Deluxe has. The AC-15 reverb tank is shallow, shorter, I should say. It's so it's a different splash. And the tremolo effect on the Deluxe. The Deluxe is its own thing. So, And that's why I say that. I really hate sending you down the road of buying a $1,500 amp. I hope you find a deal on one. But I will tell you this. Out of those four amps, and I really like the Iron Ball SE. If you told me out of the four amps you just mentioned, I could only keep one, I would keep my Deluxe Reverb. And I'd stick the Fireball pedal in front of it. Something to get that tone. Keith says, thank you for your service to the guitar nerd community. You're welcome. You know, somebody was mentioning we should get Know Your Gear like challenge coins. And I was like, oh, that sounds like such a good and bad idea that I love it. But I don't know how to do that. But I'm like, maybe we need that. And then I was like, who's going to carry around these, you know, I don't know how heavy a challenge coin is. They're pretty heavy, man, if you have them in your pocket. So, like, and then I was like, what do I do? Do I do a challenge coin, just put the Know Your Gear logo on it? Do I get one of, like, the three-dimensional ones? So that's guitar nerd right there. If you have a Know Your Gear challenge coin, that would make you the nerdiest person in the room, I would imagine. For sure. Thunder Falcon says... Oh, we already said what he said. He wanted us to light up the Bad Cats, and we already talked about that. Peter wants us to know, what does Peter says? Good afternoon, Philip. Weird question. I buy, maintain, and fix upgrade guitars, okay? But I rarely play them anymore. What's the hell wrong with me? Love you, man. Nothing is wrong with you. I actually seen this. This is not, it's not an uncommon thing to be told that I've heard. It has nothing to do with YouTube. At the store, people would just like, I like to fix them up, or I like to own them and stare at them. Sure, why not? Look, guitars are more than just musical instruments. They're more than tools. They are those things, and that should be their primary use. Obviously, we want you to make music with them. There is only upsides when it comes to creating music, right? Music will change your life. It will improve your personality, improve your I don't want to say aura. I don't know if I'm that ready for that, but maybe it does. It improves your sensibilities, you know, who you are, your health. It's music is just everything to me. So an instrument making music is it's the greatest thing I can think of happening. And the idea of a musical instrument not making music doesn't bring me as much joy. That's for sure. But I understand the concept of, hey, I just fix them up, or hey, I just stare at them, because they are art and they are just things to do. Look, sometimes to me, here's why I'm saying this. And I want to walk you down this thought process with me. So, I've had different hobbies before guitar. One of my things I did before I discovered guitar as a young teenager, I was building model airplanes to the level where, like, my friend and I, we would enter into the state fair. We didn't win, but we would get honorable mentions. I once made like a diorama of an A-10 Warthog, like on the entire flight line, like with, you know, everything, right? And I even simulated the engines, like I made little microscopic to scale newspapers stuck on the fence line, like the plane was tossing up trash against the fence line and stuff. And I would do stuff like that. And airbrush, that's where I learned to airbrush. Like I said, I don't paint and I don't refinish guitars, but I'm proficient with an airbrush because I've always had my Pache airbrush, you know, when I do my F-16s, F-18s, A-10s. My point to this is that building a replica of an airplane or a car, to me, I don't see it far-fetched from taking a guitar and fixing it up and doing all this stuff, you know, right? And then just staring at it. Sure, why not? Why not? So no harm in that, but I would suggest always, if you have those skills, if you're refining those skills of fixing up guitars, make sure you're doing a service for the community by maybe fixing up people's guitars. Plus, you can make a little money, right? You make a little money, they get an improved instrument. So I'm not saying you should be a full-time repair tech or anything, but, you know, you can always build in that into your friendship circles. Like, hey, I fix up guitars. And you might be doing that, just in case. I'm just suggesting it to you. The grade says, hey, Phil, watching all these live streams after setting up my new ice cream shop. Oh, wow, that's awesome. If I could shout out my shop, I swallow cum. What? Thanks. God, I get it. Ha ha ha. He made me say a funny thing. I figured that would happen eventually, right? That's like the Bart Simpson technique. But good luck on your ice cream shop. I don't think the name's going to yield you the dividends you want. The grade's like, yeah, I had an ice cream shop. It made it 6 days. Just kidding. Alexander says, Phil, use your video to install Tremolo on my ESP. It was amazing and helpful. Thanks. I appreciate that. Thank you for the feedback on that. The Tremolo is a pretty good unit. It's not a great unit, but it works for what it is. There's not a whole lot of better units out there, but it is good. Angst Wolf. That's how I'm reading that, so I'm going to stick with it. Finally watching a live feed. Loving it until I get busted by my supervisor. Don't get busted by. I'll keep it down. I won't yell. That's what usually gets you guys in trouble at work. If you're watching the show at work, I think what happens is sometimes I just start yelling because I get a little loud, and then your supervisor's like, "What's going on over there?" And then they're like, "What are you watching? That doesn't look like work." So don't get in trouble. All right, let me go to, I have a good amount of super chats still. Let me go to some non-super chats, see what you guys are talking about in the, hold on a second. Let me see if you guys, and again, if you're trying to get anything to my attention, put a question mark at the beginning of it so I know it's Timmy. I'm going to say Yosef. Yosef, love this question, man. He says, hey, Phil, what's your opinion on ordering and buying a custom Strat from a boutique builder versus something like a Silver Sky for similar price? Well, you know, the boutique builder is an adventure that you're going to go on. In other words, you know, it's going to have all these crazy things happen to you. Like, you're going to have to wait. You're not going to know exactly what you're getting. And what I mean by that, I don't mean the obvious thing. Obviously, you're going to know what color it is and what it's going to, but you won't know exactly how it's going to feel. One thing about ordering any guitar, you don't know how it's going to, you know, how it's going to feel exactly, how much it's going to weigh. There's a lot of things to go to that. There's a lot of things that come with buying off the rack, even if that off the rack is an expensive guitar. What I will tell you is this, and this is just my focus, and I've been like this for years. When it comes to boutique, custom, you know, semi-custom guitars, to me, my only desire in that is really, or not only, my main desire is to have something unique. It's not quality. I'm double checking my mind right now. I don't think so. I don't think I've ever went to a boutique or a custom build because I'm like, oh, I'm just unhappy with the quality of off the rack guitars. No, it's always like, I just want something that when people see it, you're like, oh, what is that? You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, no one has this but me. And of course, you know, other people have it, but I mean, you're just not going to see it very often. So that's really to be what it's about for me. It's like, do you want something that's yours? You know, it's a boutique Strat style guitar that's yours, you know, designed for you, for you, or the Silver Sky, which is John Mayer's guitar. You have his guitar. Even in the way I say that, I kind of feel, you know, guilty saying it, that, you know, I don't like I was like, you know, downplaying the John Mayer Silver Sky. I'm not. It's just, that is the difference. Do you want something unique for yourself or something tried and true that was obviously bench tested by a musician and, you know, played by thousands of guitar players around the world? So there's the advantages and disadvantages of both, but that's how I think. And I have both for that reason. And very rarely do I have custom guitars that I'm like, this is way better than anything I have, because I don't think I have any custom guitars that are way better than anything I have. They're just way more unique. Okay. Hold on a second. And then, you know, this is a good way to kind of segue while I'm looking at this. I did a video today with Doug Pinnick from King's X. He's the singer and bass player from King's X. That video will be a bonus show on Sunday. It comes out Sunday for you guys. The patrons will get it maybe this afternoon. Depends on how fast the edit is, but definitely by tomorrow. And so they'll get it early, and then you guys will get it on Sunday. And I interviewed him. It was a 30-minute interview. I was really impressed with his responses to some of the questions. And I thought the most powerful thing in that entire video and most interesting is the discussion of what cheap gear really means and cheap meaning affordable. I know we talk about like, you shouldn't say cheap, but I think he even said the word cheap. So I think it's okay. What cheap gear means to musicians, what it really means. And it was really powerful. And he explained, cause I kind of went, you know, I asked him these questions. He explained why, you know, he doesn't have like a crazy expensive signature rig. His rig is extremely affordable. And when I mean extremely affordable, I mean, yeah, it's not the cheapest thing on the planet, but it's within line with all of the price points of the products that he plays. Like, he plays a Schecter bass, and his bass is $1,000. $1,000 is not cheap by any means, but that's what a Schecter bass goes for, basically, is $1,000 now. So his bass is in line, $899, right? And his preamp pedal, same thing. Everything was in line with the pricing, you know, that makes sense, that you could buy anything. So it was really cool. So I hope if that's something you guys find interesting, you will watch that video, because I was really impressed with his answers by far. Okay. Okay. Hold on. Patient Zero says, Phil, I just ordered an American Pro 2 Stratocaster, Dark Knight. It's a cool color. I always wanted a Strat Plus in that color. I don't think they called it the same color, but it looked kind of the same. It says, have you played these yet? I have played one. By the way, missed the store and chat and gear. Yeah, I get that a lot. it's one of the good, bad things when I bump into local friends and customers and viewers, is they'll go, oh, I love the channel. Thanks, but I missed the store. I'm like, yeah, I understand. But some of them say, and they follow up with this a lot, which makes me feel good. And so if you're just saying that to make me feel good, keep doing it, because it works. They'll say, oh, I really miss going to the store and talking guitar with you. And I go, oh, yeah. And they go, but it's like virtually I get to do it now on YouTube. And I'm like, yeah. Because this is literally how the store was every day. You would walk in, this podcast that you're watching, this is how I would be in my store every day. And you would just walk into this. You would just walk in the store and all of us would be talking guitar. If we weren't working, we were always working, but you know what I mean? I don't want to be like, we never worked really. It says, by the way, missed the store. Okay, we talked about it. By the way, Jackson Graveyard, Randy Rhodes V is still kicking butt. Who am I? Oh my goodness. I know who this is. This is Jason? Am I right? Randy Rhodes Reverse V Graveyard. I think I'm right. I think I'm right. I hope I'm right. If I'm not right, I'm sure I'll find out. But I think I'm right. Craig, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. I think I'm right. Craig says, are old Mesa combos like the Studio 22, Subway, Rocket, and Satellite a good buy, or better to buy a 6505 mini head or a 112 for rock and metal? Okay. They're different amplifiers. Look, just because the Studio 22, the Subway, Rocket, the Satellite, they are Mesas, but they're not that sound of the 6505. So what I'm and what I mean by that is they're not like the Mark V sound. They're not the Rectoverb sound. They're a sound that's close to that, but they're not that sound. So they're not going to be the same. Quality-wise, I would prefer them way over the 6505 mini head, and I have no reasons to really kind of dog the 6505 mini head. It's a great head for the price point. And of course, as you know, I'm a fan of the 5150, which is the 6505, is the same thing. They're different. They also shouldn't be in the same price points, but I could be totally wrong. So if you're looking at the same price points, me personally, if I could buy a good, strong, well-built amplifier that, you know, for the price point of a newer newer amplifier that's not built as well, I would pick that. That's what I would personally pick. So that's what I currently own, is kind of more, you know, if you notice, I don't buy a whole lot of inexpensive amplifiers. I bought a few for the channel, and I don't really stick to them very often. Guitars, I really believe this. I think you can buy a $200 guitar. It kicks ass all day long. It'll definitely on par with anything out there. Amplifiers are a little different. The less expensive amplifiers are very good, but... And so that's what I want to get to. It's not that they're not good, and then you got to get expensive amplifiers to get good. But when you get expensive amplifiers... More expensive amplifiers, they really seem to do things that are really, really cool. You know what I mean? So the distortions and the clean tones seem to flow a little better. So that's just something to think about. That's just my opinion, for whatever that's worth. And then I want to say this is TRKTM Bell. I'm going to say Tinkerbell, right? It is Tinkerbell. Just did a super chat for no reason. Oh, and then did another super chat. It says, Phil, I bought a Fender Lone Star Strat, new in 1997. It says, has the original strings, plastic on the pickguard, mint. Would it be worth more original or with a new setup? Huh. I assume when you say new setup, I mean having the guitar set up, but are you mean like a newer sets of electronics and tune? No, it's worth more original. Everything's always worth more original. No, there's almost no exceptions to that. That's just so that's the easy part of your question. Very easy question. Keep it original if you can. Unless, of course, you know, it's a preference you want to use it. But I'm telling you, for if you're cared about value, keep it original. David says, I bought a Line 6 HSX effects. What are your opinions on it moving? Oh, why am I having trouble reading this? Let's start this again. David, he said he just bought a Line 6 HX effects. What are your opinions on it? I'm loving it so far. I have one and I use it every day. every day. It seems so. You know, I use it all the time. I usually have it right here. It's always right here so I can use it for what I'm doing for. Absolutely. To me, still right now, for me, this is my favorite effects unit. Period. More than Axe FX, more than the Cortex Quad, whatever, blah, blah, blah. More than the Kempers, more than anything. But of course, also more than the Line 6 Helix stuff, because this is the function for me. This is the size of a function. This does everything I need it to do, which is make basically, I have three settings on this, and I don't even use one. I have a clean and a dirty, and that's what I use. I modeled out two amplifiers. I have essentially like a Plexi in here and a Fender clean, and this does what I need to do. Unless, of course, I'm just using it for extra effects. I'll use effects. So actually, I swear by it, and I like it a lot. I thought about trying the new Headrush stuff, and you know, and then I really like I sobered up, so to speak, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I'm like, why? I already like the HX effects. I was like, oh, I like the touch screen. I like the features, you know, but it was all like, nah, I'm not doing that. The reality, you know, because sometimes, like I said, because of YouTube, I go, oh, it'll be a great video. I'll explain, you know, I'll compare it and people will see a comparison. And then it would be a good video. But deep down, I'm happy. So I'm just going to, you know, if I thought it was something that was a really good video and I should do it, otherwise, I'm just going to stick with what I like. David followed up with, love you and the channel, by the way. Keep making awesome content. Dude, thank you for the compliments. They're always well taken. Thank you for them. Sean Brooks says, Phil, I've been having trouble with Updog. I don't know what Updog is. Can you help? Sean, I don't know what Updog is. there you go. I don't know what that is. Juggernaut TV2, the Juggernaut, says, Phil, Fender Mexican makes great satin necks. Yep. If you don't get satin, however, they seem to pour all the lacquer on the earth into the neck. Jimmy Page Dragon Telly is the worst. Anyone like these? I think I know where you're going with this, but I don't feel that way about the Made in Mexico stuff. I feel that about all Fender stuff. Like, I like glossy necks. Like, I like my Gibson glossy necks, which are nitrocellulose. I like the PRS ones, which are, you know, all kinds of finishes. Now they're nitro, but, you know, the other ones I had were, like, kind of more of a polyurethane. I like the, obviously, this is a finished neck on the back of this Kiesel, right? So, again, I like this finish on this. The Sinister Gates right here, the Schecter, is a gloss neck, and I like that as well. But Fender, all of my necks are basically a satin-esque finish. I don't know why. I just don't like Fender's gloss necks. I don't think I own a single. I'm looking, and I absolutely know for a fact I don't own a single Fender guitar with a glossy neck. And deep down, you guys have heard me say that I really believe that the Eric Johnson Stratocaster is one of the best buys you can buy. It's basically custom shop Fender for production pricing, even though it's not inexpensive, it's a lot more inexpensive than those. And that's the one thing that turns me off is the glossy neck. And I know if I bought one, I'd have to sand that neck, and I don't want to do that. because if I decide I ever don't want the guitar, I just killed the value on it. So, you know what I mean? So I just think about that going, I don't know. I really know I want it. So In Theory app says, what model Magnetone amp were you saying you almost bought? I have no idea. I'm not familiar enough to know what the names are. It's just it was a combo amp with a tremolo in it. He says, I'm eyeing one basically on Reverb. I just don't know. I don't know which one it was. I didn't look at the model number because the guy was like, yeah, you can't buy this. But when I looked on Sweetwater, it looked like they all looked the same to me. So it looked like what that it was, whatever the 112 combo was. Hello, Dr. Jekyll says, move to a new home, get buzz in my amp till I touch the strings. Okay. Start it after move happens with multiple guitars, amps, even plugged into the surge protector, direct outlet, tried multiple outlets. Remember, trying multiple outlets does not change it. You need to change breakers. You know what I mean? So you need to get off whatever breaker that is. So if you change every outlet in that room, if you go to every outlet and they're all on the same breaker, which is connected to another problem, that's going to be the problem. So you definitely want to take an extension cord and plug it into. And like I said, I've learned to test this in the bathrooms. Works really good. You could probably do it in the kitchen. It's wherever your GFI outlets are, because the GFI outlets, you'll know, won't be connected to that room. That right? Usually your GFIs, and again, I'm not an electrician, so I'm not trying to give electrician advice, but a GFI outlet, usually, like in my house, which is pretty typical, the garage, the patio outlets, pretty much all the outside outlets are on one GFI, and then I think, and they might be on all the same as the bathrooms in the kitchen, but they're all on GFI. That's it. And then everything else in the house is on everything else. So that's what I would do. That's one way to isolate the problem to the actual house, right? In other words, if you switch to a GFI and it's still doing it, then you know that they're not connected to whatever was in that room. So you know that the problem is happening more than just what's in the house. That's what I would, that's my suggestion. That's my very uneducated electrician advice to you. Okay. Waterford Giant says, JR did a demo of LPD delay. Awesome. But already sold out. Hope there are more coming. Well, that's the downfall of YouTube reviews. When I did the Pedal Pal pedal, they sold. I think they're sold out for the year. I mean, it's bad. I saw where people are now selling Pedal Pal. Please don't buy them. And Luis and Alvaro, I think, will stand by me on this. Please don't pay the $600 asking price people are selling those pedals for. It's crazy. People are asking $600 for the pedals, the Pedal Pal pedals now. You know, they'll catch up. You know, like I said, all these builders will catch up. I think everybody's going to catch up real soon, whether they realize it or not. One thing I get to do, and I try to kind of explain this when I'm having these meetings with these companies, I do a lot of consulting with companies, and not just in this industry. And one of the things that happens with that is that obviously sign a lot of NDAs. I have a lot of NDA agreements about certain things, and one of the problems is that sometimes when a company's, you know, we're talking a particular problem, I'm like, wow, so is these, like, I ever, all these other five companies are having this exact same problem, but I can't share that with them all specifically. I can only give them general information. So back to this, let me tell you, I'm seeing almost across the board most companies in September and October, which is not over yet, most companies are producing more product than orders. Now, here's what's important about that. They're still back orders. So let me give you an example. Most companies are seeing numbers like where they're basically getting more orders every month than what they can produce. And so they are back ordered, and the back order continues to grow or not change because the orders have been coming in at the pace of the manufacturing. But what I saw in the last, I don't even say 60 days, in the last 30 days, for a fact, in the last 30 days, consistently through all kinds of product lines, you are seeing that they are producing again more than they're getting orders. Now, they're still back ordered, but that's the first break in the sign of, okay, we might be slowing down on orders. And then the discussion becomes about the fact that they don't have product for Christmas. Keep in mind, a lot of that product issue is with toys, and not a lot of with guitar manufacturers and guitar products. There's not a whole lot of manufacturers that are worried about not having any product. There's just a concern that there won't be a huge variety of product all the way up to Christmas. And you have to understand something, and this is where it gets a little confusing. And I want you to be very clear. The majority of consumers, especially guitar players, because that's what we're going to discuss, is guitar players, make a majority of the purchases, like anybody else, right before Christmas. Okay? What's the big misnomer? The big misnomer is that, Black Friday is like the record sales day of the year. It's not really. I think the record sales day of the year is either Christmas Eve, or it's usually the Saturday before Christmas or the weekend before Christmas. Now, the internet changes that a little bit because people can't get stuff fast enough for Christmas. So it's about 2 weeks out from Christmas is the internet's peak, right? There's a peak of when you can guarantee by Christmas. So that's the let's just say, to keep it easy, the closest possible date to Christmas that you can still get a delivery by Christmas is probably one of the peak days for the internet, okay? So in other words, most consumers are going to do most of the purchasing last minute. That is very consistent. It's been the way for years. It's never going to change. Well, I don't know if it's never going to change. It's never changed. Maybe it will change, but it's never changed. So you have to understand, the concern isn't that there isn't enough product to cover the consumers. The concern is that the people who are making last-minute decisions on their purchases are probably not going to have the selection they're going to enjoy. I've seen a lot of retailers try to hype this into something that's not. First of all, I could be wrong just like they can be wrong. So keep that in mind. So if I'm wrong, I apologize. But if they're wrong, I'm sure they won't apologize. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Consistency. Consistency is used prices are falling. That is consistent. You can go on Reverb right now. There are all kinds of products. This time last year, you couldn't even find the products, much less find them for the price that was pretty much at retail. Now you can find them and there's deals. Very consistency. Look at something like a Bogner amp. Last year, this time, you couldn't even find the Bogner Ecstasy's amps. There was like one in stock on Reverb. Now there's probably three or four used ones at a price that's been lower than have seen. There's a lot of discounts. So anyways, the point is that used prices are coming down. So you can get better deals on used gear, for sure. There is inventory. So this idea that nobody's going to have guitars is not really likely. Will you get the color guitar you absolutely want? Yeah, that's where it's going to get a little dicey. Yeah, you know what I mean? The hot-selling color of that guitar model might be the hardest one to find of the bunch. But that's always going to happen during the holidays. And we know that there's supply chain issues. I'm very aware of that because I have supply chain issues. So we're all very, very, very aware of the supply chain issues. However, that being said, like I said, you have to be prepared for the fact that there was this little dip just for a second. There's been a little dip right in the beginning of fourth quarter into third quarter when it comes to purchases. And that's actually going to help a little bit of the manufacturers catch up a little bit. So like I said, the only thing I will tell you is this. Do not pay this dumb price on product. Find a deal. You can find deals or pay the right price. But also, if you think you're going to need it or want it that bad, yeah, I would definitely buy it ahead of time. But the retailer is kind of putting this whole, like, if you don't buy it now, good luck. I'm not seeing that. And I don't think any of you are either. You know what I mean? It's very rare, this idea. And, high-end stuff is different too, by the way. I keep hearing about high-end stuff is getting backordered hell and back. But they're also not producing a lot more of it. And, it was already started. Anyway, think of this. Fender Custom Shop's been a year to 2 year backorder since 2011. That's been it's been in backorder land. So it's been in backorder forever. So the fact that it is a little bit more backordered isn't really that big of a deal. Like it is when you can't find stuff at all. I think I told you guys this story. I remember, this summer, remember everybody was talking about, it was earlier this year, during still a bigger part of the boom of the sales. Remember everybody was like, every retailer I talked to is like, you can't get SIRS. It's a six month. It was like, 2 year waiting list to get a SIR. And I went looking at SIRS and I found a dealer with like 30 or 40 of them in stock. And they're like, you can't even get them. And I'm like, you can. And then they gave me a smoking deal. And I was like, so, and I remember thinking, like, after I was done going, okay, I don't understand. You can't get them, but there they are. There's a deal. Somebody's full of crap a little bit. So I think there's a little bit of full of crap. There's some truth, but it's a little bit, it's like I said, it gets exaggerated like everything else. So I would say for when it comes to guitars, you know what I mean? If you need something specific, I would do it now. But if you're just like worried that there won't be any guitars for Christmas, that's just asininely crazy. There'll be lots of inventory, lots of stuff. So lots of guitars, lots of pedals. If all that's all you care about, certain things. But like I said, being specific, then I would worry about it. I'm not old, I'm vintage, says my wait list for a Wildwood Edition Mythos Milnir. I don't know how, I think that's how you say it, Milnir. Was shorter than the Way Huge pedal. I'm guessing because the Mythos was built in the US and didn't have to go through a shipyard. Way Huge is probably also, it's also made in the USA, but I understand it might have more of a Chinese PC board, you know, coming from more parts from overseas in China, where the Mythos stuff is made in Nashville by a smaller builder, and he's probably getting his stuff from All Pedals or a smaller distributor. That's probably possible also. But you have to also understand, too, what happens with the smaller builders, which you don't understand, is one of the things that's been very confusing, and Fender even does this, which is very confusing. They talk about orders, but not sales. Orders are a little tricky thing. So, for instance, we see it all the time. We see like, we took in 1,000 orders. Well, that's not 1,000 sales until they're actually finished. So they're going to make 1,000 pieces, and then you go, oh, I want one, and they don't have one. And that's what's happening, by the way. That ties back into Pedal Pal, that's why I'm saying don't pay $600. Put yourself on a waiting list, because what's happening with those guys is, I talked to Luis just a couple weeks ago. You know, he's like, we'll get, you know, I think they got like 500 orders. They got 500 orders for that pedal. And then they're like, okay, we're making them. And everybody's waiting. But then what happens is they call you to ship. And then you're like, yeah, I've changed my mind. So they just go right to the next list. And then all of a sudden that 500 orders turns into, you know, 420 orders off that pedal in that run. So same thing with Mythos. He could have had, you know what I mean? He could have had, same with Wildwood. They could have had orders. Maybe they had, I don't know, 50 of those pedals ordered up, and they had 51 customers, and then all of a sudden only 46 customers took it, and that's why you got yours faster. That could be a factor too. So there's a lot of that to that. So, all right. Keith says, sitting on the podcast makes me start searching for gear to buy. Yeah, I get that too. When I'm listening to podcasts, I'll be like, oh, I need to, yeah, some subject comes up, and next thing you know, you got to check out things. We have Steven. Is this Steven? I want to make sure. Steven says, repaired a broken neck. It now has a hump going down at the third fret. Okay. If I level the fretboard, will I need to replace the MOP, Mother of Pearl block inlays? Well, here's the deal. You're talking about obviously pulling the frets and then planing down the fretboard, you know, with like a radius block or something. Really, it's going to be this simple. It's just going to be how deep are you going to go down? I would say you're not likely going to go through them. You know what I mean? It's not likely. It's possible though, but it's not likely. That's probably the best answer I can give you. Not likely, but possible. So you're taking the chance, but I would, if I was a betting person, I'd say you'd be fine. They're thick enough to where you're not going to have to take off as much material as you think. Everybody thinks it's more dramatic than it is, but it's not as dramatic as you think. Charles did a super chat. Thank you. Chad said, regarding the Marshall Studio heads, have you tried the Plexi? Yeah, of course. I've owned them all at this point. I saw your JCM800 and the Silver Jubilee demos. Thoughts on the Plexi as well as the Rev G20. I have not tried Rev stuff, so I can't speak to it. On the Plexi style studio head, I have a 1986X, which is the 50-watt version of that same amp. And they are very similar in how they are. My issue is the 50 watt version, in my opinion, has more bass fullness, just a little bit more. And it does, other than that, and it kicks a crap ton louder, the 20 watt Plexi style amp, the problem I have is, and remember, they're not the exact same amp. They're just, I'm just comparing because I had them too. What I will tell you is the 20 watt Plexi is still freaking loud. It's as a pedal platform. If you're going to use it for that, you're going to be fine. It's going to just, you know, have it clean, run some pedals through it. You'll be absolutely fine. However, as cranking it like a Plexi, you're going to have to run it through some kind of attenuation anyways. Unless you can just be as loud as you want all the time. The only thing I hate about that is it's loud. That's what I said. It's loud like the Plexi. So you're not really saving anything, right? By the time it's cranking too, even at 5-watt mode, it's still loud. It's not as loud, like I said, as the 50-watt, but it's still loud. It's not like it's, I don't want to be like it's usable. It's still not usable. It's too loud for most situations. So you have to run through attenuation. If you're going to do that, that's why I said, oh, screw it. I'll just use my 50-watt at this point. The other thing is that it, when it is loud, it doesn't thump. It doesn't push like the 50-watt head. So to me, the 50 watt was the better amp. Keep in mind, though, there's no logical reason I can come up with why the 50 watt head is $2,500 versus the $1,300 or $1,400 that Mini Plexi is now. But I've said this before. The main reason I didn't keep the Mini Plexi is I have a JMP. I'm looking right now. JMP 2061. Which is a hand-wired 20-watt head. It's not because it's hand-wired. I just say that because it's what it's described as. It's essentially, it does, and it's loud. It's not as loud as the 20-watt studio Plexi. And so I prefer it. But again, it's more expensive. Even used, you're going to be looking at $1,500. So, great amp. I still prefer, but it's just me. I still prefer my Friedmans. I would still buy, before I buy the Plexi, I bought all the Marshalls. That's why I bought them. I bought them because I was looking for something. What I ended up settling on was the Friedmans. I don't know what it is. It's like you got to figure out what you were okay to be unhappy with. With the Friedmans, I think they can do volume way low, or they can do a quieter volume than the Marshall for sure. They get more gain than the Marshalls at lower volumes, and they sound Marshall-esque, and they really have a great tone that I love. However, I think the Marshalls have more sustain than the Friedmans. So it's like when I play my Marshall, I go, yeah, this is the classic sound with the sustain I like. When I play the free one, that sounds like a modded Marshall. It's got things I like about Marshall, but it's got a newer character to it. At some point, I'm always a little unhappy, but I can use the Freedmans more. They are just more expensive as well, though. Josh Take Finnegan something says, first live show in months. I'm just going to go with Josh. Oh, Josh. Tosh Jake. Did I say Josh Take? I think I flipped it. Maybe I have a little, maybe I'm dyslexic. Tosh Jake says, first live show in months, usually miss as I'm opening up the guitar store in Australia for Saturday trade at this time. Do you like the new FGN Boundary Series models? I haven't seen, well, I have, I don't know if they're different than the FGNs I've played. $599 US for a Main Japan Super Stratatelli. We can't beat that. But that's, you're in Australia. Is that what they are here? That's the problem. Like, you know, I know in Australia, the problem is like it's $3,000 for a Made in Mexico guitar right now. That's the problem in the US. Some of the guitars like that, the FGNs, you play them and they're really great. Like in everywhere else in the world, they're $600. But by the time they get here, they're $900. So I'd have to look. I'll look tonight when I index the show. Because yeah, $600 is really cool. And I'm a big fan of the FGN stuff. Okay. Telecaster 48 says, hey, Phil, thanks for the great information and entertainment on your Friday podcast. Okay. I appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for, especially Telecaster 40, you know, I mean, $20 super chat. Thank you guys for super chatting that you like the show. It's really cool. I appreciate that. You know, it's, right now Magic Man's like $3,000. What? Yeah. By the way, I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. I think it's like $3,000. I don't know, Australian. It's the equivalent of $3,000 for a Made in Mexico guitar. Okay, let's do the giveaway. We're at the end of the show. Let's do a giveaway. I'm going to be giving away a guitar crate. So this is the guitar crate I used last week. This is going to go to I'm Not Old and Vintage. Oh, and by the way, I'm Not Old and Vintage. I think I thought it'd be fun until I ship this thing to you, because I'm not shipping it until I get the new one, because I need something to talk about. This is a guitar crate. And like we talked last week, it comes with all this stuff. Woo-hoo, you get a box of stuff. It's basically you sending a gift to yourself. You're like, what did I send myself this month? I don't know until I get it. So I'm not Old and Vintage. I throw extra stuff in here. So I'm going to throw this in there. Not that. What is it? I got it somewhere. Did I already put it in there? This is going to be a good show. I got to be it. I'm going to give you one of these cool slides I did a video on recently from Black Mountain Picks. So this is a $40 slide. This is cool. So I have some of these slides right there. So when you get your box, that'll be in there. I figured until I ship your box, I'll just keep adding stuff to it, like I told you, and I'll show you so you know what you're going to get. So guitar crate, we have to give away a guitar crate. How do we do that? How do we give away this guitar crate? To get the guitar crate, you have to be in the U.S. because they got to ship to the U.S. I'm sorry, all the people that are not in the U.S. I am working on that. That is definitely the biggest priority I have to giveaways is to add in everyone around the world. It's coming. It's not just the price of shipping to you guys. That's a huge obstacle to overcome. It's the fact that to do that, and I'm not, it's hard for me to ask, you know, did somebody do something? I'm not doing it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. In other words, I don't go to the post office and fill out all the custom work. My wife does. So, you know, it's a process for her. So I got to ask her to do it. And so once I get that done, which I think I've got willing to do this stuff, we can do it. Let's do, I don't want to just, hey, do me a favor. Give me your best, or no, favorite best. Type in your favorite Army of Darkness quote from Ash. What's your favorite quote? And then I'll pick one real quick for those of you. And some of you guys are probably Googling it, so I'm going to pick obviously the fastest ones because I don't want you to Google it. Okay. Anyone? Anyone got a cool Ash a quote? Okay, this is my boomstick. I like that one. Let's see if I get another one. This is my boomstick. Ah, Fox in the House, you got beat by Bud. He was a little faster. Desert Dog, you will die. That's not Ash though, but yeah, I still like the quote. Okay. Groovy. Groovy's a good one. You know what, Bert? I'm going with you. Good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun. You know what? I love that one. So, Bert, you won. Bert Smith, you're getting a $45 value guitar crate box. All you have to do is email me at pmcknight7@gmail.com. Or they ask me your gear. It doesn't matter. Just email me, say you won, and send me your address, and I will get that to TJ at Guitar Crate, and he'll get that out. I didn't know if I said it last week, but I'm saying it now. You get next month's one, so just you'll get it at, you know, for you it's no big deal. You're gonna get it like next week, but it's gonna be a week out when you get it. They'll ship you out one. So Bert, thank you. That's a great quote. Thank you everybody else who did a great quote. Thank you everybody else who hung out this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please look for this Sunday's show. It's a 30-minute show with me and Doug Pinnick. The guitar player. Well, he's the guitar player of his new album. He's the bass player and the singer, of course, of King's X, one of my favorite bands for sure. And these are going to be more. I'm going to do. I told you guys I'm going to do more bonus podcast-esque. That's too tricky. Podcast-esque interviews. So they won't be in place of any of the Friday shows. It'll just be and. So it'll always be a Friday show, and then I'll do the extra interview ones. But this one was really good. He was really cool, chill dude, and it was really fun. So on that note, I'm going to let you guys go. I want to thank you guys again. I want to thank John and his brother William for the amazing gift. That was really cool. I know some of you guys also sent me some cool stuff. Like I said, I'll do a unboxing. I just, like I said, if it's, I just get in the time, right? Just got to put all in the time. So as always, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me today. Till next week, I guess I'll just say, know your gear. All right. Goodbye.